Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to the Heart of Love Radio Show with G. Wright.
The Heart of Love.
Ooh, yeah.
Radio Show.
Radio Show, yeah.
The Heart of Love.
The Heart.
Radio Show.
Radio Show.
What's going on, you guys? This is G. Wright coming to you live from the D.C. Baltimore area, and I hope you guys are having a good night tonight. I hope you guys know that God loves you, that God will never leave you nor forsake you. I just want to encourage you to know that you are not alone, and if you can remember that, if you can know that, please be encouraged tonight. Please, please, please be encouraged tonight. I want to start the show off tonight with my cousin Eureka A. Wright, because we're called for a purpose. And I just want to encourage you guys to know that God has you. I'll be right back.
Me.
Fish, listen to songs by Cousin Eureka A. Wright. I'm doing Facebook Live and I'm doing Blog Talk Radio. And tonight was, amen, Brian, amen. You know, talking about who's your master. And I was like, Lord, what am I going to talk about tonight? And first I'm going to say the power of the knee, K-N-E-E, the power of the knee. But what came to me was, who's your master? Because, you know, we have to have an understanding that there's good and there's evil. You know, we have to have an understanding that we are serving someone. We're serving someone. We're serving something. You know, we just can't say what's up, Myra? We just can't say that we're just living and going through life. We're either serving God or we're serving Satan. You know, so who is your master? Because if you find out who's your master, if you know who's your master, you know where the person's heart is. You know, because whoever you serve, that's the person that you're going to have that allegiance to. You know, what's up, Mike? So we come from James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, where it says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. You know, I put my prayer tonight, and Lord bless the reading of his word. My prayer tonight is that this conversation that we're having tonight is interactive, and I pray that something that I might share or something you may share or we might share together will encourage us, that we'll leave here encouraged, refreshed, knowing that God is still working in our lives. For those who are tuning in, we've been doing this now since the beginning of the year as far as the Bible study here on Facebook Live. But I've been doing the show for many, many years. But for you guys tuning in right now, while I'm doing Blog Talk Radio and I'm also doing Facebook Live, you know, this has really, really been a blessing. God's really been working in my life. I'm sure he's been working in your life as well. I'm sure you've seen him move and do the impossible in your life. Let me tell you this. I'm going to share this before I even go in any further. There are some things in my heart that I was praying and I was believing God for. How many of you guys know that when you're waiting for God to come through, that sometimes God doesn't move when you feel like he should move? But he moves when the time is right. He moves when he is ready to move. What we have to do is stand firm, stand steadfast in our faith and believe that God hears our prayer, that God sees our heart, that God sees our tears, that God will do that thing that he said he would do in your life. And I waited, and I tell you, I waited for a particular decision probably 3 months. Can you imagine each day you have this situation in front of your face? You're like, Lord, how is this going to work? And God said, I got you. I've got you. I've got you. And it took three long, I say agonizing months. In fact, probably really, really longer than that. Probably can't say over half a year of waiting for an answer. And I just got the answer on last Friday. So it's put me in this place where I've been just really reflecting, you know, and I'm sharing it with you because some of you might be waiting. Some of you might have been waiting for God to work in your life, for God to do some things that you've been believing him to do. And perhaps he might have told you, you know, it's going to happen, but your situation looks different in front of you. I just want to encourage you tonight that if you just keep your faith, keep steadfast in your faith, it will come to pass. Who's your master? Tonight's message, who's your master? Remember, this is interactive, so you can type me. This is all about edification, edifying each other, encouraging one another. When it says in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Even before we go to the second part, submit yourselves then to God. You know, what happens is that we don't like to submit ourselves. And I'm not saying submit ourselves to man. I'm talking about right here, submit ourselves to God. Submitting ourselves submitting our lives and everything to God. You know, why do you think that God is blessing you? Why do you think God wants to bless you? You know, he wants to bless you so you can be a blessing, so other people can see Christ in you, so that other people can know, okay, who is he serving? Let me learn about God. You know, and I'm saying this, when we submit ourselves to God, something happens when we submit. The act of submission, I see someone like getting on your knees and submitting yourself, because you submit. We submit to things. We submit, whether we agree with it or not, we submit either to God or we're submitting to the devil. Submit to God. Submit to God. See, submission shows loyalty. Remember back in the days, in medieval times, and people submit, they're bowing themselves there. You know, throughout the ages, you know, whoever you bow to, that's the person that you're showing your loyalty to. That person, you're showing that person, look, I'm honoring you. You are greater than I am. And see, sometimes we allow ourselves to get in the way, and it keeps us from really, really experiencing the things of God, because we're so sometimes proud. We're trying to do things in our own way. Submit to God. You know, it's like trying to be in control of something that you think you're in control, but you're really not in control. But if you submit to God, God will show you. But the thing about submission is this. Who do we really even want to submit? Do we even really want to submit? Do we really want to bring ourselves down to a place, a humble place, a place of humility, so God can work in our lives? Because even before we even went to verse 7, it says, before then, that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble, which goes into submit yourselves then to God. So in scriptures, you know, it's not about finding our favorite scripture. We had to go to the scripture before. What was going on in the verses before? What's going on in verses after? What's up, Jessica? What's up, cuz? Love you. What's up, Brian? You know, and you know, so what happens is this. Sometimes we're so full of ourselves that we don't see God and what he's trying to do. And then we sometimes get off track. When pride gets in the way, we get off track. And sometimes we can say, oh, I'm not proud. Oh, yeah, you're proud. Yeah, you're dealing with pride. But, you know, this whole point tonight is about who's your master. Who is your master? Because it says submit to God. And submission shows loyalty. Submission shows who is the Lord of in your life. Submission shows who is the Lord in your life. Who is Lord in your life? When you submit to God, when you submitting, you're saying you are Lord. You have full control. No, so this might not be a feel-good message. This might not be the message you want to hear tonight. But it's a message I feel that is needed. And I want you all to understand, whoever's preaching, the message goes to them first. You know, it goes to everyone involved. Submitting to God. We want to see God move in our lives. We got to submit. We got to get rid of the pride. You know, I'm a broken man. You know, Valerie's on here a couple weeks ago when she was talking about, it might have been last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. And she was one of the faithful viewers and participants. And she was basically saying, as far as having that mask on and taking that mask off and allowing ourselves to be vulnerable to God. You know, that's submission. Look, saying, Lord, I'm broken. I need you. I cannot live this life without you. I need your guidance because I cannot do this. And I want to say this, you know, who are we to say, God, why are you doing this? Why are you doing these things in my life? Obviously, God is at work. And sometimes it's, you know, God wants to show us our heart. Because when we get off track, we think, I'm doing this. Look at what I'm doing. Look how I am making this happen. No, look at God. Submit yourselves to God. And the next thing about who's your master is this. You know, the scripture says, the second part of James 4:7 says, to resist the devil and he will flee from you. The power in resistance. When you resist something, what do you guys think about that, the word resistance? What do you think about when I give you that word resistance? What comes to your mind? Because what comes to my mind, this is interactive, so I don't want you guys just looking at me talk for an hour. This is us talking amongst ourselves. Also, feel free to share this video on your page, too. Resisting the devil. Resisting. You know, that word resist. It means it's the opposite of going along with. It means there's some kind of tension. It's not, you're not easily swayed. You know, it's just, there's some tension. It's not easy going in the same direction. And it says resist the devil. Because this is what we're guilty of sometimes. Sometimes we're guilty of, I feel like we're guilty, sometimes playing around with the devil. We play with the fire. You know what? If you play a fire, you can get burned. You've heard that saying. You've heard the saying, if you lie down with a dog, you get up with fleas. You know, we play around with the devil. We play around with sin in our lives. And we don't really resist it. We see it. We play with it. Sometimes we try to dress it up. And you know, let him who is up without sin cast the first stone. I'm not casting a stone. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory in God. But I'm just saying that sometimes in our lives, it's not even sometimes just a struggle. We just play around. We play around with the sin. We play around with these different things. And we dress it up. We try to make it look nice. You know? Hey, Terry, you say, Terry said, I am learning and taking notes. Resist to me is not to give in, but remain steadfast. Amen. Thank you, Terry. you know, yeah, thank you for sharing that, Terry. Terry says, guys, resist to me is not give in, but remain steadfast. That's right. Not giving in. It's like having that rope. You remember that rope that we have at tug of war? And you remember how you keep on going, and even when you feel like you want to give up, you say, no, I'm not going to give up. But the greatest thing is that when we think that we are, as Christians, that we are in this tug of war by ourselves, you know, it reminds me of that story about the footprints and the footprints in the sand, you know, and when we think we walk in, there are actually two sets, you know. You know, well, in other words, you're not by yourself. Jesus is right there with you. God is right there with you. So it's not just resisting the devil. We resist the devil by speaking the word of God over our lives. We resist the devil by praying. We resist the devil by calling on the name of Jesus. You know, and when we're resisting, like a tug of war, resisting in the name of Jesus, you know, and we do that and don't give up. I want to tell you this. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I want to tell you this. You know, that was a perfect answer, Terry. You know, that whole thing about resistance for me is like, just like you said, not giving in. Not giving in. Remaining steadfast. Not easily going in the same direction. And sometimes what happens is this. I'm trying to put this thing into words. When you resist the devil, like I said, sometimes we play with the sin, we dress it up, we say it's not really sin. No, it's sin. But we go into this whole thing of denial and all this stuff. So that's not really resisting the devil. Resisting the devil's, no, I'm not going to do that. No, that is sin. No, I'm trying to do my best to do right. Now, I'm not saying we don't struggle. We don't have struggles. We all gonna have a struggle. But when you're really resisting, you're doing your best. You're doing your best. And the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He chips away at the armor. So if we're not constantly encouraging ourselves in the Lord, if we're not constantly listening to God's music, if we're not constantly having edifying conversation, then how can we get that that energy, to that spiritual boost to continue to stay in the race. Yeah, thanks, Terry. Terry says this, not giving in to sin and temptation. Yes, yes. Have you ever been in one of those places? One thing you say is, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, you hear the Holy Spirit tell you, run. Remember that movie, Forrest Gump, run, Forrest, run, 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 run. You know, my mom wrote this, resist the devil, do not submit to fear, or free from Satan, but stand against him. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10. Satan cannot lead into sin against one's will. That's so important. I'm glad you said that, Mom. Thanks for sharing. Satan cannot lead one into sin against one's will. You know, the thing about this is this. Sometimes as Christians, we do play. We do play with the sin. You know, and I have sinned, guys. I am not perfect. But God wants us to strive toward perfection. He wants to strive toward perfection. Who's your master? Because if we're not resisting the devil, that means he's our buddy. Sometimes we've dressed up. Oh, you're not really, really sin. You're my buddy. You're really my buddy. Right. Terry writes this, I remain steadfast to serve one master, and that is my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, Terry. Amen. You know, and the reason why I say it, because sometimes we dress that sin up. And then we dress up. What's up, George? We dress that sin up. Become good friends with that sin. You know, and talking about resisting the devil. You know, we're not resisting. We're like, okay, what do you want to do next? You know, but, you know, the thing about this, it says in James 4, chapter 4, verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. When you keep on resisting, eventually he will flee. When you keep resisting, eventually he will flee. But the thing about it is, like Terry said, like just like Terry was saying, about remaining steadfast and serve one master. You know, that's what we've got to do. You know, and the thing about it is this. When you resist the devil, he will flee. He keep on speaking the word of God. He can get tired of hearing that. He's going to flee. But what happens is sometimes we say, I'm going to resist him, then I'm going to go with him. So if you're doing tug of war and you eventually, the other person on the other side eventually pulls you in, you're going down. You've lost. But thank God that we might fall down, but we can get back up. Thank God for that. Thank God that he's merciful and kind. But the biggest thing, amen, Terry, but the biggest thing, what's going on, man, Spencer? But the biggest thing is this. If we really, really resist the devil, he will flee. Some of us are stuck because we're not really resisting. We've given up resisting. There's not even a struggle. We're just going along with it. You know, but God doesn't want us to be crippled. He don't want us to be babes. It's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to mature in Christ. It's time for us to go to the next level. That means we got to stop playing with that sin. You know, is it easy? No, but with God, all things are possible. You know, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I think we forget that if we do not resist, if we don't try to resist, the devil is not going to go anywhere. That situation is not going to go anywhere if you're not trying to resist it. In fact, it might get even worse. Yes, yes. Terry writes this, guys. Yes, thank God for his grace and mercy toward us. Amen, Terry. Amen. Thank God for his grace and mercy, because where will we be? And that's not just religious talk. I mean, let me tell you this. Past year, I was in such a place, some people didn't even know what I was going through, but it was such a crazy time for me. Who was my master? God is my master. But, you know, I was going through and the enemy was just putting all these different things in my head and it was crazy. And, you know, and I resisted, God had angels around me. God has angels around you. God has people around you speaking life into you, speaking life into you, speaking his word into your life. And, you know, and it's good to have people who will pray for you when you can't pray for yourself. You know, sometimes you have to share people with people to let people know what you're going through. But the key thing is this. One of the key things I want to tell you guys in this whole thing about submitting yourself to God is this. Resisting the devil and he will flee from you. You resist, he will flee. This is come near to God and he will come near to you. Some of us, we allow fear to keep us. We say, you know, I can't go near to God because I've messed up. I've done X, Y, Z. I have hung out with this crowd. I've done this. You know, God doesn't want me, but that's a lie of the enemy. Remember, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Who is your master? Who are you serving? You know, draw near to God. You draw near to someone. You draw near to God. You're taking those steps. You know, take that step toward God. Take that. Be willing to take that step. Be willing to say, you know what? Nothing else in my life is working. Let me try God. Let me read the word. Let me go to a Bible-believing church. Let me start praying. Let me start meditating on God and his word. Let me start singing songs. Let me start encouraging myself. When you draw near to God, the biggest thing I want to encourage you is this. When you draw near to God, it says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. He will. But you got to be willing to make that step. Christ already gave his life for us. So that part has been done. Now it's time for us to be willing to make that step towards him. So even in this season of Lent, what are you willing to give up? What are you willing to give up and seek God and seek and just think about everything, the sacrifices that Jesus made for us? What are you willing to give up to sacrifice so you can have that, allow God to move in your life? I just want you guys to think about that. And my mom wrote this, we must not flee from the devil, but stand firm in our belief that God's got us in the safety of his arms. Okay, you're saying, Bob, we shouldn't not run from the devil, but stand firm. Okay, I understand what you're saying. We must not flee from the devil, but stand firm in our belief that God's got us in the safety of his arms. That's so true, Mom. If God is in control, we're not running from the devil. We're speaking the word of God. It says resist the devil and he will flee. Ha! Resist the devil and he will flee. Now, we serve a great mighty God. I'm glad you said that, Mom. I'm glad you said that. I felt that. I don't know about you guys, but I felt that. Sometimes we run out of fear. But, you know, God is the one in control of everything. We have to believe that. We have to have that faith. You know, Romans 6:23 says this, guys. Romans says, for all have sinned and fallen, I believe that's it. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Oh no, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, take that chance. Take that chance. You know, we've all sinned. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. You know, the gift. You know, and I say this because sometimes we forget and we think that we got to be perfect. Like people say, won't you come to church or won't you give your life to God? You know, I got to be perfect before I do that. I've got to be perfect. No, you don't have to be perfect. If you had to be perfect, Jesus would not have had to give his life for you, and for me, if you were already perfect. You know, but take that chance to God. Take that chance. Try him in your life and see that he's not good. Try him. You know, draw near to God. You know, one of the things about this, when you do draw near to God, he will come. I just encourage you not to be afraid of that, not to be afraid to allow yourself to be vulnerable to God. Why I say that? Because sometimes we forget, and we say, you know, God is just too holy. You know, what can he do with me? But what does this have to do about the title, Who's Your Master? You know, you're going to see it. You might see it now, how everything connects to that whole title. Because the thing about this is, if you say you love God, and you say you're Christian and you're striving to live holy, you want God to use you, you want God to work in your life, you've got to understand that you've got to submit yourselves to God. You got to submit yourself to the Master. That means that sometimes you're going to be in uncomfortable positions. And one of the key phrases I've learned in this season is learning to be uncomfortable, learning to be uncomfortable, learning to become comfortable being uncomfortable. Sometimes we're going to be in uncomfortable positions. And God says, you still got to serve me. God says, you still got to do good unto others. God still says, turn the other cheek. God still says, stand up for righteousness. God still says all these different things. And your situation might say one thing, but God might be requiring something of you. He might want you to take the high road. Perhaps the other person not taking the high road, but you take the high road. Who is your master? If God is your master, draw nigh to him. Draw near to him. You see, the thing about it is that we have to be willing to let go of the driver's seat. We have to be willing to allow God to lead us. We have to allow God to lead us. Why are we having this discussion? You know, who is your master? Who is your master? Because I'm telling you, what's up, Mama Jackie? You're going to either serve one. We're going to serve someone, guys. That's the point. The point is we are going to serve something or someone. And if it's either God or it's the enemy. But when we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. He will come. And the thing about this, it says this in the rest of verse 8, it says, and we're in James chapter 4, it says, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Now, why is it saying, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded? No, we do serve a holy God. And God doesn't like mess. You know, so come as you are, but be willing to repent. That's the whole thing. That whole thing, wash your hands, you sinners. So before you even lift up your hands, no, Lord, you got to repent. Repent, Lord, please forgive me for my sins, the things I've done knowingly and unknowingly. Please forgive me. And he talked about, because something happens when you wash your hands, when you cleanse. We've got to be cleansed. We got to repent. You know, it says purify your hearts, you double-minded. Purify your heart means choose a side. You know, God doesn't want us to be lukewarm, either hot or cold. You know, purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, this scripture says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Is unstable in all his ways. So purify your hearts. In other words, know who you're serving. Now, does it mean that we're perfect? Now, I want to tell you this. Why did I drive this home? It's because sometimes we, in the church, we act like, you know, we're perfect instead of acting as if we're sinners saved by grace. So then we present ourselves to everyone. We present ourselves as if we have no issues, as if we've never gone through anything. And then how is that going to really touch people if we're acting as if we've made it? We were all saved by grace. And so in purifying your hearts, you're double-minded. God don't want us to be double-minded where we're flip-flopping on both sides, you know. Then grieve, mourn, and wail. Repentance. You know, True repentance brings change. And we talk about repentance. What do you think of the word repentance? Are you there, Willie? Are you there, Willie? What do you think about the word repentance, you guys? Those who are with me. What's up, Spencer, if you're still there? What's up, Sean? You know, repentance. True repentance brings change. That's what I'm going to say right here. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. In other words, who's your master? When you realize that perhaps you've been playing around with sin in your life, perhaps you've been playing around with the blessings that God has given you in your life, it's time for us to repent. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be hunky-dory and we're not going to have any struggles. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that we've got to turn ourselves back to God. You know, my mom, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, my mom loves scripture, says, for us, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, eventually in the end, you're going to bow. Your knee's going to be bowed. You got to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In the end, see, true repentance brings change. True repentance, you know, you got to go through the process. And I talk about this process. Repent. You know, be remorseful about the sin. Not just saying, I repent, Lord, and keep on going, and then go back and do the exact same thing over and over. But truly, 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 truly be repentant about what you're going through, about what you're dealing with, about what you're experiencing. That's the main thing. True repentance brings change. True repentance brings about something different, different actions. Not only change, but it brings actions. Different actions. You're doing different things. You're serving God with your whole heart. So you are seeking Him. You're praying for His direction. You're giving Him full control in your life. Well, these things we're working for, these should be things we are striving for. Who is your master? Because whoever your master is, that's the one you're going to serve. You know, like when you make mistakes, you say, I'm sorry, Lord. You know, whoever you're repenting and repenting to and submitting yourself to, that's your Lord. So who is your master? Who's ruling you? Now, who is your master? Do you even have a master, or do you think that you are the master, the ultimate master? You know, the reason why I'm saying this is because it's so important for us to understand, you know, our motives behind everything we do. What are our motives? What's up, Tammy? What are our motives? Verse 10, it says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You know, we wrestle against wicked forces in high places, you know. But when we humble ourselves before the Lord, we just, hey, Tammy, and we just get to the point, you know what? Let me go ahead and submit myself to the Lord. Let me resist the devil. He will flee. I don't have to flee. As my mother said earlier, we don't have to flee. He will flee. And then we repent. Lord, please have your way in my life. Please forgive me for double-mindedness. You know, we cry our tears. We cry before Him. We submit ourselves. We humble ourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. When you humble yourself, you are saying, you know what? I am nothing without you. I cannot make this journey without you. I cannot make this journey without you. You are awesome. You are great. And I pray that you will be glorified in my life. Who is your master? Because whoever you serve, That's where your heart's going to be. Your heart's going to be wherever you're putting your energy into. Whoever, whatever, you know. And when you do humble yourself before God, He will lift you up. He will lift you up. What's going on, Willie? You know, who is your master? Who is your master? And I tell you this. This is a question I just want you to ask yourself. Which side am I on? Who is my knee bowing to? Is it to that relationship? Is it to that dream? To that fantasy? Is it to what's going on, Willie? What's going on? Who are you bowing to? You know, what do you think? What do you think about this, Willie? What do you think about this? You've been kind of quiet tonight. My mom says this, hold fast to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold fast to God's unchanging hand. Yeah, God doesn't change. You know, we got to remember that we're only here for a season. We're going to have this experience in this life, on this side for a reason. You know, the end really is the beginning. You know, and whoever you serve, guys, whoever you serve now, you know, I'm going to say I almost had loss of words because who is your master? When you go through experiences and things like that, and we say, look at God, look what He's done in our life. Look what He's doing in my life. Look what how He's changing things in my life. And then we start becoming lax. We become lackadaisical about everything. But remember this, whoever you put your energy into, whatever situation you put your energy into, that's your master. If the only thing you think about is money and how you're going to get to the next level and all that stuff, guess what? That money becomes your master. So what happens if God says, you know, I want you to give $20 or $100 away? You're not going to do it because that's your master. Perhaps it's your relationship. Perhaps your relationship is your master. You know, Tammy writes this, life is a lesson. We get out of it what we choose to get out of it. Okay. All right. Life is a lesson and we get out of it what we choose to get out of it. I always pray to God to give me lessons in ways that I will understand and comprehend. And I like what you said that. Amen, Tammy. And I like what you said that, Aunt Tammy. You said, I love the part where you said, always pray to God to give me lessons in ways that I will understand and comprehend. Yeah, because you don't want to go through the whole thing again if you're not paying attention. That's so true, Tammy. Yeah, Willie says, amen, Tammy. Amen, Tammy. And we've missed you, Tammy. We haven't seen you on here in a while, you know. But it's good to see you tonight. It's good to see you. And Tammy's definitely an inspiration. My mom writes this, God is the master of my life, and I'm grateful for His grace and mercy. Amen. Amen. You know, who is the master of your life? Yeah, I know, Tammy, working two jobs. You know, think about this. You keep the faith, you're staying steadfast, you're doing the things you need to do. God's opened up the doors for you, and He's blessing you. You know, who's your master? You know, we've got to keep the faith. And if you're saying that God is your master, if you guys are agreeing, you're saying that God is your master, then I want you to understand that along with that comes things we've got to do on our part. There are things we've got to do on our part. You know, so this next week, I just want you guys to really, really focus on that. You know, ask yourself, who's the master? Who's your master? Who's my master? Willie writes this, God is the master of all things simply because He is God. God is the master of all things simply because He is God. Yes, But it's a matter, of us also really acknowledging who is the master. You know, because he is God. So I'm thinking that you're saying God, you know, yeah, he is king. He is your king. You know, he is your king. You know, who is your master? Yes, he is our creator and our father. Amen. That's true. That's true. And the thing about it is this. We are going to either be on one side or we're going to be on the other side. You know, that's coming so important for us to resist the devil. And he will flee. And when we draw nigh to God, when we come near to God, he will come. You know, he is our creator. And I think the key thing is that we have to remind ourselves that, Tammy, Willie, we have to remind ourselves, you know, he is God. He's my God. Not just the fact that he is God, he is king. He is my king. He is my God. You know, ownership. Who's going to be our king? Who's our master? Is God. And I'm encouraging you guys this, you know, that is the question. Who are you serving? That's the question. You know, and when you know who you're serving, you can say he is not just he's God, but he is my God. And he is the master of all things. So because he is God, you know, who's your master? Who is your master? Because, and I say this because this, like, go ahead. Okay. Right. Amen. That's what I wanted you to say, Willie says as well, no matter how we put, God is the master and king. But the difference is God gives us choice to choose who you want to serve. And I choose God. That's what I was saying, Willie. Now we're on the same page. He is master king. But I wanted you to say, I choose, you know? Congratulations, Tammy. Congratulations on the birth of your new granddaughter. God bless your daughter and your family. Can't wait to hear about that, okay? God bless you and drive carefully. You know, that key thing that you said, Willie, but the difference is God gives us choice to choose who you want to serve, and I choose God. That's what I'm saying. Who's your master? You choose God. You know, sometimes we got to say that, speak that out of our mouths. I choose God. I'm on God's side. Because when the enemy's trying to come in your ear to say a whole bunch of stuff, sometimes you got to say, I am on God's side. God is my Lord. God. Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's my Lord. You know, my mom said, she said this. She said, that's why I was waiting for Willie. Love you, cuz. I got my cousin coming through. What's up, Monica? And that's the point. Who is your master? Who is? Hey, man, I know you do, man. And I choose God, too. I choose God, Willie. I choose God, too. You know, and listen to this. It's not going to necessarily be easy, but he's going to be with us. Sometimes we have to make that declaration. And it's like today, sometimes we have to remind ourselves, I choose God. I choose God. I choose God. I choose righteousness. I choose peace. I choose joy. I choose righteousness. So who's your master? You know, it's up to you to make that decision. But I want to say this before I leave. I just want to pray that God will bless you, that God will bless each and one of you. You guys, you know, I love you guys, and I appreciate you guys for coming through tonight and for sharing the video. I just went tonight with what I felt like God wanted me to talk about. It definitely wasn't one of those feel-good messages, but it's not about necessarily feeling good. It's about getting the truth. You know a man by his fruit. You know, you know a person, man or woman, by their actions. By the things that they have done, by the things they continue to do, you know, man, by his fruit. I just want to encourage you guys, as it says in James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, to resist the devil. Submit to God. Now repent. Humble yourself, and he will lift you up. You know, just don't give up. I want to say God bless you guys, and I hope you guys will continue to come through. I look forward to seeing you guys next Tuesday from 9 to 10. I want to say God bless you. Have a good night. Be encouraged. I pray God's peace over you, over your situation, and keep the faith. Remember, who's your master? God bless.
From the church today, from the church today.
Hallelujah.
Can I get an amen? An amen.